1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about being counted faithful. Counted faithful. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Paul says he thanks Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled him. How was Paul able to do all of the work of spreading the gospel across the entire Roman Empire? It was because the Lord enabled him to do it. He thanked God for enabling him. He realized it was not because of the status in his life, or it was not because of his education, his own abilities. That's not what opened the doors around the world for the gospel. It wasn't because he was so special and wonderful that revival happened like it did. It was God who enabled him to bring revival and to see revival. Oh, that God would enable us. Does anybody want to be enabled to see revival? Enabled to tell somebody the good news of Jesus Christ? Enabled to pray for someone and see healing in their body? Enabled to teach a Bible study to someone who has never heard the truth of God's word? Oh, that God would enable us. I want to be helped by God. Enabled by God, led by the Holy Ghost. Let us not be led astray by pride to where we think that we're something special, that we've arrived because, you know, we're here and now the church can have revival. No, anything we can do for God, any miracles, any doors that are opened, any good thing that we're able to do in the kingdom, it's because God has enabled us. He has made a way. He has opened the door. He worked the supernatural. It's God that did it. We're just a vessel that he used. Romans chapter 9, verse 21 says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor?" When the potter makes a vessel out of clay, he decides what it's going to be. The clay does not form itself, but the potter comes up with the design. He's the one that decides what is going to be made. And with the same clay, he can make one piece of pottery that's beautiful, that's honorable, that's useful. Or he could make a piece that's thrown away into the garbage. The power over what is made is in the hand of the potter. We're the clay. He's the potter. We're the clay. We don't have a choice over what he makes us to be. We do have a choice, rather. We can surrender or we can resist. God, use me. Make me a vessel unto honor that you can use for your purpose and for your will and for your glory. Jeremiah prophesied about the potter's house in chapter 18, verse 1. He said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. We don't like it when the potter says, hold on a minute. Hang on just a minute. We're going to take a pause here in life and in on this road, and we're going to take a pause here in everything that I'm doing because there's something that's not right. There's something that's amiss. There's something that's resisting my touch. There's something that's not as it should be quite yet. And so the potter pauses things and he makes it new. He has to destroy perhaps some of it to make it again new. We don't like that. We would rather say, God, just let's keep on going forward. Let's not have to go through this test anymore. And let's not have to go through this trouble and this trial. I would rather, Lord, just kind of make it without the pain and without the turmoil and without the wondering of what's going on. And Lord, why am I in this situation? But if we will surrender to the hand of the potter, there's something that he's trying to do. There's something he's trying to renew in us. There's something he's trying to correct in us. Oh, if we will surrender to the hand of the potter, he is going to make something great. He is going to make a vessel unto honor. He's going to make a vessel that he can use, that he can minister through. If we resist and we say, oh, no, God, Nope. We'll never become what he's designed for us to be. Our first instinct when we go through trials and frustrations, heartache and sorrow, our first instinct is, I want to get out of this. This is not comfortable. This is not easy. This is not where I want to be. Sometimes God uses others in our life to knock off some rough places. Why do I got to work with this guy? He is such a pain. I want to get out of this job. And sometimes God's using other people that are a pain in our life to knock off the rough edges. Sometimes God's using a trial because he realizes that there's a place in us that may not be completely surrendered to him. There's something about the direction we're headed. There's something about our mindset or our values or whatever it is that God's saying, I want to adjust some things in that. And so I'm going to let a storm come. I'm going to let a trial come. I'm going to let something happen that's going to get their attention. And in this process, in the process of the storm, in the process of the trial, he takes the clay and he starts working with it and making us different and changing things. If we resist the touch of the hand of the potter, we're going to miss out on what God's trying to do. But if we will surrender and say, Lord, I may not understand it. I may not be comfortable in this time. I may not be really happy about what's going on. But Lord, I'll surrender to your touch. I'll submit to whatever you're trying to do. Make me whatever you want me to be. Because God, I want to be a vessel unto honor. God enabled Paul. Jesus enables us. Paul said he was thankful for Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled him because he counted me faithful. Faithfulness made Paul ready to be used by God. Now let me tell you tonight, we don't have to be smart to be faithful. If you're smart, that's a bonus, okay? But we don't have to be smart to be faithful. We don't have to be good looking to be faithful. Now, if you're good looking, that's a bonus too, okay? But God can use anybody. He can use me. He can use you. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be gifted to be faithful. We don't have to have a big bank account to be faithful. We don't have to be anything special to be faithful. Faithfulness is something that every single person has the ability to achieve. Faithfulness is something that we should all strive for. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who our mom or dad is or isn't. It doesn't matter if we're used or not in ministry right now. We need to strive to be faithful. We need to strive to reach that level where God says, they're faithful. They're faithful. Don't wait to be faithful. Sometimes people reason. They say, well, I'll be faithful when such and such happens. I'll be faithful when I get that promotion. I'll be faithful when things get easier. I'll be faithful when God opens that door. Come on, we don't want to be foolish. We should be faithful right where we're at. Faithfulness is shown in small things. In small things. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. People let the enemy convince them that, well, I'll wait to be faithful until I have more to be faithful with. The problem is, if we're not faithful with a little, we don't ever get the chance to be faithful with much. Be faithful right where we're at. Be faithful with what God's blessed us with. Be faithful right where we are. Come on, somebody. You need to strive to a level of faithfulness where God is pleased, where God is happy, where you bring glory to the kingdom of God. And God says, that's my child. They're faithful. They're faithful. I can use them. I can bless them. I can multiply them. I can bless their family. Because they're faithful. Now this certainly applies to our finances, but not only our finances, but in every part of our life, our influence, our talent, our career, our work in the church. Paul said, he counted me faithful. Does that mean that Paul was perfect? Absolutely not. You read the writings of Paul, he's very transparent. Paul said he'd been the leading sinner, the chief sinner. But God didn't hold him back. God didn't hold him back. God didn't say, well, you know, I saved you, but I'm always going to remember how evil you used to be. I'm always going to hold this against you, Paul, and cause you to have a lesser place in the kingdom because of it. No, God counted him faithful. Did Paul ever struggle? He talked often about his struggles, but God counted him faithful and put him into the work of the ministry. He became an apostle. He was not a lesser apostle. He was equal with all the other apostles. I want to encourage someone here tonight. The enemy has tried to hold you back. He's tried to make you think that you're unworthy because of your mistakes, because of your failures, and God is trying to use you. God is trying to use you, but your mindset is holding you back because you think, well, look at all the stuff I've done. Look at all the times I've messed up. Look how many times I've fallen short. God could never use me. God's saying, I'm trying to use you. I'm trying to place you to work in my kingdom. Come on, what's holding you back? Don't let the enemy have you convinced that God won't use you because of things in the past. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Let God open the door. Let God open the door. Walk through it with faith. If God opens the door for you to be used in some area, then he's going to give you the ability to walk through the door. God counted him faithful. And Paul said, God put him into the ministry. What does that mean? Ministry simply means service. Service. What is service? It's hard work. It's serving others. It's about being a servant that God can use. Me, myself, and I. Those words are the enemies of servanthood. We get caught up in what we want, what we desire, what we prefer, and what we think and how we feel things ought to be. If we're truly going to be a servant, that way of thinking's got to go. Instead of what we think, what does Jesus think? Instead of everything we want, what can we do to minister to others? Instead of self, it's got to be others. We often see our work in the kingdom of God as a matter of, well, we're volunteering. We're volunteering for the church. We're volunteering to help a certain ministry. We're volunteering out of the goodness of our heart. We're volunteering our time, our talent, our treasure. But Paul didn't talk that way. When it came to the things of God, when it came to Jesus Christ and his church, he wasn't a volunteer. He was a servant. He was a servant. Literally, the word means slave. A slave. He was duty bound to the work of Jesus Christ. And faithfulness is expected of a servant like that. A lot of times we get the attitude, well, I'm volunteering, so if I'm a volunteer, I can quit at any time. Any time that it gets rough, any time that the going gets tough, any time that there's a struggle, any time that there's problems on the horizon, any time that this is not fitting my comfortability, well, I'll just quit my volunteering. When we're a servant, we don't just quit. We don't just say, Lord, I'm done being a servant. No, when you're a servant, you're duty bound. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't change, you know, what we're doing in ministry, maybe open another door and, you know, all of that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying sometimes we've got to get the attitude, Lord, I'm going to be faithful in this. This may not be the place I really want to be. This may not be the thing that I enjoy the most, but for this time, for this season, you have called me. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I want to be counted faithful. The service of others. God's passionate about others. Did you know that? When Jesus was on the cross, the people mocked him. We read what they said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. They spit on him. They mocked him and scorned him. Matthew says the two thieves that hung beside him on those crosses, they were hurling the same insults. He saved others, himself he cannot save. But in their insults, they almost had the truth. He saved others. That part is right. Himself he cannot save. Oh, he could have. He could have called down 12 legions of angels to his defense, and he could have destroyed the universe as we know it. He could have ended the whole story of redemption right then and there, but he chose not to. It wasn't that he couldn't save himself. It was that he wouldn't. Himself, he would not save, but they nailed the first part of that exactly. He saved others, even to the point of refusing to save himself. You see, Jesus didn't need saving. He could have saved himself, but we, on the other hand, we needed saving. And others around us in the world today need saving. Jesus said the two most important things are, first, you got to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and all of your strength. And number two, you got to love others. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to love others. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we've got to develop a love for people around us. We've got to develop a love for those that don't look like us. We've got to develop a love for those that we're not comfortable around. We've got to develop a love for those that they're downtrodden and they're broken and they're abused and they're hurting and they're bound and they're addicted. We've got to develop a love for people that can't do anything for us, but we have what they need, and we reach for them with the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You need to stop looking at yourself and you need to say, who around me needs the love of God? Who around me can I help? Who around me can I minister to? If we want to be a church that God is pleased with, then our church has to be passionate about what God is passionate about. And he's passionate about others. I tell you, it pains me when you see somebody new come to the church and, well, they don't have all the clothes that we wear, and so they dress in what they got. And then you see others that push them aside. Maybe it's a young man that comes to church and he doesn't know all about this apostolic truth. He just knows he feels the love of God, but he's not cool yet, so we don't, you know, accept him. Maybe it's a young lady that, you know, she doesn't understand how the hierarchy goes in our youth group, because this one's in charge and we do what this one says, and so if this one says we can't be friends with that one, then we're going to push her out. That's a problem. That should not be. We're all here only because of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. If we're going to be a church that's found faithful, we're going to have to reach for every kind of person. We're going to have to reach to every area of the city. Why do we have an outreach in Nixa? Because there's people there that need the Lord. Why do we have an outreach downtown? Because there's people there that need the Lord. Amen. Liberty, is there people in your apartment building that need the Lord? We're going to reach that area. We're going to reach that area of downtown. I don't know how it's going to happen. You may be a key to reaching people in that area, you know? And God said, you know what? They need a little help to reach that area, and so I'm going to get Liberty in contact with them, and some good things are going to happen. And she's, I tell you what, you that are praying for her, you keep praying for her. God's doing awesome things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is working. God is moving. I want to be counted faithful with what God has given us. God has given this precious truth. God has given us this apostolic doctrine. Amen. God has given us his anointing and his power and his touch. I don't want to just leave it sitting on a shelf somewhere, but I want it to be used. I want God to use it through us. Oh, come on, somebody. We can be a vessel if we'll let God work through us, if we'll let God work on us. He can make us into a vessel that he can use for his kingdom. Amen. Amen. I wonder if you stand with me in closing tonight. I want to be counted faithful. We read it, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have an argument with Paul. He says he's the chief. I kind of feel like I am. Some of you probably feel like you are. We're not going to argue about that. We're just going to say, Paul, we know what you're talking about. We feel you. Howbeit, he says, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Everybody say, I'm a pattern. I'm an example of what God can do. I'm so glad that we're not all made from the same cookie cutter. Praise the Lord. Brother Caleb, you're a pattern. You're an example. There's other people out there that they fit in the same mold of what you are and where you've come from and what God has done in your life. They can have hope when they look at Caleb. Hey, I've struggled with some of the same things he has. I've gone through the same. That's what they're going to say. And if he can make it, well, I can make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. That's why God sent a brother and sister Armor here all the way from Louisiana. Because you're a pattern. You're an example. There's others that you identify with that I don't. You can reach them. You can minister to them on their level, their age group, their whatever it is. But you're a pattern that they can say, if God did it for them, he can do it for us. He can do it. Brother Hal, you're a pattern. There's people that they think it's hopeless. They think there's no way they can find freedom. They think there's no way they could ever be used of God. But if they could see, hey, here's a man, he's not perfect. But God's working, God's moving, and if God can do it for him, well, God can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And I can go down the line. Brother Tucker, Sister Tucker, Brother Andrew, you're a pattern. You're an example of what God can do. I want to be counted faithful. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to be a light, to be an example, to be a pattern that they can follow. You might think, oh, nobody would like to be like me. Oh, you don't know. Young people, the most popular kids in your high school, you don't know what they really go through. You don't know the burdens they're carrying. You don't know the abuse that happens at home. You don't know the brokenness that's there. You don't see the addiction that mom and dad have. You don't see all of the hurt and the turmoil. You just see the outside, and they act like they're all cool and everything's fine. I want to tell you, be sensitive to the Lord. You're a pattern. They look at you and they realize there's something different. Amen. That's why I believe our young men, young ladies, you need to go to school. You need to dress. You know, you don't have to dress in a suit and tie, guys, but dress nice. Fix your hair. Brush your teeth, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Be an example. You're going to stand out. Your pattern. Somebody today is depending on us. God forbid that we would be counted unfaithful. God forbid that we would be less than what God has called us to be. God forbid that we would allow the enemy to come and steal the witness, the anointing, the power that God wants us to use in life. And that person that's depending on us would be helpless, hopeless, without joy, and without salvation, lost forever. I want to be counted faithful so that I can be a pattern for somebody to look at and say, if God can do it for him, God can do it for me. Lord, help us tonight. I pray that you'd minister right now. Lord, I know you're doing something great in this church, God. It's not us, it's you. Lord, we're not anything special. But God, you're so good. You've had mercy on us. You've saved our soul. You've brought us out of darkness. Oh, Lord, you're renewing us. You're making us new. Make me a new creature, Lord. Make me what you want me to be, Lord. Use me for your will and your purpose. I pray, God, that you would help me to be counted faithful. Let me be counted faithful, God, so that I can be a pattern that somebody can look to and say, hey, I want to be like them. I want to be used like them. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want God to work through my life like he's working through their life. Oh, come on, somebody tonight. Would you yield yourself to the hand of the potter? Would you yield yourself to what God is trying to do, to the touch of the potter upon your life right now? Would you let him make you be what he wants you to be? Would you let him brush off some of those rough spots? Would you let him work in you to make you something great? Oh, come on. Would you make your way to the altar right now and say, God, use me. Make me what you want me to be. I want to be counted faithful. I want to be counted faithful, God. Come on, don't resist what God's trying to do in you. Don't resist how God's trying to work. Don't resist what God's trying to do right now. But yield yourself to the Lord. Yield yourself to his hand. God, have your way in me. God, move in me. God, move in me. Like, I need to encourage somebody. You thought that going through that trial meant that God didn't love you. You thought that going through those circumstances meant God had forgotten about you. You thought that the pain and the suffering meant that God didn't care about you. But hey, the opposite is true. God loved you enough to let you go through some things that it would make you better. God loved you enough to allow some things to happen so it would refine you and you can come out as gold. Come on, somebody. You need to be thankful for the hand of God upon your life.